It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Bickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Rob Ferret. Coming up, our guest says we're overusing our Social Security numbers as a form of identification, and that's making us more vulnerable to identity theft.
First Forestry has been a huge job generator in Wisconsin for over a century. Jobs in logging, lumber, and papermaking are all rooted in sustainable forestry. But over the last decade, several challenges to this industry have cropped up, and the consequences for forests in Wisconsin have yet to be determined.
We'll be speaking with John Schmid soon. He's been covering forestry issues in Wisconsin, and he's here to talk about these challenges and how they may change the state's economy. He's an economics writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. One of the issues that he's been looking at is the transfer of forested land from one generation to the next. Often the younger generation is no longer in state and may not have an interest in maintaining the timberland, and that means that Wisconsin will be losing a lot of its forest cover. That forest and the renewable process of keeping it going has been key to many industries in Wisconsin, but because of the lack of paper mills that are still in the state, we are not able to continue supporting that sustainable agriculture. We are actually going to go right now to a segment that Veronica Rickert is hosting.
That's right. High-profile cyber attacks are a regular part of the news in recent months. Many of those attacks target our personal data. They target names, phone numbers, credit card information, and Social Security numbers. And it's the Social Security information that has our next guest worried. She writes that those numbers are a prized part of the data honeypot sought by hackers. But it shouldn't be that way, she says, because companies and the government are using Social Security numbers in ways that they were never supposed to be used. Farai Chidea joins us now. She's a reporter, political and culture analyst and educator, and a senior writer for 538, where she wrote about Social Security numbers and identity theft. Farai, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
How are companies using Social Security numbers in ways that make them vulnerable for fraud and identity theft?
Well, I think that one example of a company that got burned by the way it uses Social Security numbers is AT&T, which happens to be my wireless provider. And so I got a notice saying that they wanted to stop using the last four digits of my social to verify who I was when I called in or logged in, and they wanted me to create a separate kind of login password. And that is in part because they had a huge security breach where they had to pay a $25 million settlement after their own employees at remote call centers were using Social Security numbers of clients to then crack cell phones, which is a big business, particularly, I mean, in the U.S., but particularly abroad. So basically, the problem is when you use the social, and a lot of companies use the last four digits of the social to verify who someone is, you are using information that exists in other places. So if you are someone who's a hacker, you can probably find ways that people have their social documented, and then you can use that to log into all their accounts. I mean, I have a friend who just sent an email to his friend saying, yeah, we lost, you know, on paper $25,000.
Wow.
And we are devastated, except that we know we'll get all of it back, but it's a huge pain to document this. But basically, once someone had gotten their social and used that as an authenticator, this is the thing. The Social Security number can either be used as, you know, the equivalent of an email, you know, sort of like this is who this person, you know, is on a sort of like very basic level, but it can be used as an authenticator, which is much more important. And if you use an authenticator like a Social Security number, it's like using a password that's the same as your email, and that's a problem.
Well, and using Social Security numbers, this is not a new thing. Lots of companies do this now. So how do we wean ourselves away from that now?
Well, a lot of security companies are saying that, you know, companies have to protect themselves and their own liability by switching away from using Social Security numbers as authenticators, telling their customers, anyone who asks for their social, they are not us. they are somebody who's trying to hack you. Do not give out your social. The problem is the vast majority of companies, 80%+ of banks and financial institutions are still using this as an authenticator. So right now, companies, by and large, are still using this to allow people to, you know, it's the equivalent of a password for many companies. But I think companies, when you start losing millions or even billions of dollars to fraud, you're like, wait a minute, you know, we might have to rethink this.
And does this affect government agencies and their data practices, too?
Yeah, you can talk to the IRS, which paid out over $5 billion with a B to people who were not who they said they were, who filed false tax returns using Social Security numbers that they had hacked and you know, appropriated from other people. I happened to interview a couple of people who, you know, in one case, a man who tried to file his taxes and found out that he in quotes, had already gotten a refund, and it wasn't him at all. In another case, someone got a big check at their house, and it was because the fraudster had tried to get it deposited to an online account, and it was they weren't sophisticated enough to get the money delivered to the account, but still, the check went through, and he went home, and he was like, what's this? You know, it's like there's this check, this refund that and it had nothing to do with him except that the U.S. government had cut that check. So $5 billion, $5.6 billion.
We're talking to Faraicha Dea right now about Social Security numbers and identity theft. And speaking of the government, you did talk to a government official who's working on this problem. His name is Mike Garcia, who said that even passwords are eminently hackable and that what we really need is a marketplace where the password is essentially dead. So what takes the place of the password if we're not even using Social Security numbers or passwords? What comes next?
Well, let me just say that he's speaking from the perspective of someone who's really advanced in cybersecurity, and what he's talking about will happen eventually. I don't personally think it will happen anytime soon, but there are ways to use, like, for example, I use a double sign-in to get onto my Gmail. And I have to have a number that is sent to my cell phone, either through text or through a little app. And I don't just have to enter my password. I also have to use my phone to get this number and enter it into the computer. So it knows that the person, it's not infallible, but it's pretty good because the person who has the cell phone has to be the one who knows the password and gets the code. And so there's systems evolving that involve cyber keys and encryption, and there are ways to use little devices that you can, like, have on literally your keychain, your physical keychain, so little things you plug in to your computer that have a bunch of codes. There are things like LastPass, which allow you to create incredibly – LastPass is a sort of software device that allows you to create these incredibly complex passwords that you don't have to remember because it remembers all of them for you. And once you sign into LastPass and you create these complex passwords, it remembers them. And so you're still using passwords, but, you know, you can enter a 15-digit, you know, password with all sorts of weird characters in it that you're never going to remember on a personal level unless you're one of those people who has a photographic memory. So nothing is infallible, but there are things that are developing that allow you to use software encryption, cyber keys. The problem is that most people aren't there yet, and most companies aren't there yet. It's not like companies are begging people to use cyber keys, but it just depends on how much money people keep losing, individuals and corporations, and I think that will change the game.
Given all the data that's already out there right now, what do you think individuals can do to protect their Social Security number data?
Well, first of all, I mean, I have been in the past very cavalier. Like when someone would say, oh, can you send me your social because I need it for this document, I would just email it to them. Now I'm like, well, I'm going to email you the first three, you know, to five digits of my social, and then I will text you the rest of it. So I break up the communication, so not all of it is in one place. That's not perfect, but it's a way around some of the hazards of basically having your social security number floating all through your email account, because if someone ever hacks into your email account and they find an email that lists your social security number, well, game up. And so there's things like that. You know, and paper is beautiful. I mean, when I work with other people, I sometimes hire people to help me with administrative tasks, and I give them a paper sheet. They're trustworthy people, and I'm like, this is a paper sheet with my social security number, you know, all of this other login information, and you have to work off of this paper sheet, and you have to protect it, and you are under no circumstances to enter it into a computer system. So it's awkward. You know, the whole point of computers is to make life easier, but sometimes easy is too easy.
So for just briefly, as we wrap up, do you ever see legislation coming that would maybe make it illegal for companies to ask to use part of your social security number?
Some people are advocating for that. I mean, I talked to an information scientist who's done a lot of research on this, and he has advocated basically that there is top-down legislation. Other people think that that's too restrictive and too, you know, a lot of people don't like the government, you know, getting too deeply into the world of business. But I think businesses, whether or not the government tells them to do it through legislation, businesses are realizing this is a huge liability. But yes, there could be federal legislation. Right now, none is pending. There's other legislation pending to deal specifically with the hacks at the IRS and other forms of cybersecurity, but there's nothing saying let's forbid, you know, private companies from using the social as an authenticator.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Farai Chidea, senior writer for 538, talking about social security numbers and identity theft.